Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
The Travelers Broadcasting Service.
Founded in 1925.
It's fascinating. The Travelers, you know, creates the radio station, and they did it really early, 1925. That was the very early days of radio.
WTIC is news.
This is Bob Steele speaking to you from the front yard of Victory House.
Here, the state capitol, Connecticut, is paying its official tribute to the memory of the late President John F. Kennedy.
WTIC Radio presents a visit with Governor of the State, Chester Bowles, at home.
Most of what we hear about the energy crisis talks about a shortage of heating oil for the winter or added fuel for summer driving.
Ever since September 11th, it was just a matter of time before they actually sent us overseas.
Connecticut, we're all in this together.
Entertainment.
We hear from Montavani and the orchestra. Moon River.
We'll be playing two songs back to back.
That's one of the 8 million selling records that Artie Shaw and his orchestra recorded. It's called Back Bay Shuffle.
Morgan, this is Tony Orlando.
Opinion.
This is Rush Limbaugh on Connecticut's great radio station, WTIC 1080.
Ladies and gentlemen, your calls work. This is your legislators responding to a common sense approach.
Thank you, WTIC.
Sports.
Outboard races on the Connecticut River at Hartford.
And the Whalers jump 25 feet in the air with that emotional goal.
Connecticut is the basketball capital of the country for 2004.
Personality.
These look like peanut butter cookies.
They are.
Okay.
Our journey to celebrating 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC.
On Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Good morning.
It's Bob Steele on WTIC.
See anybody around here in this room, a room that's full of photographers and reporters, people. But nobody around here has been around long enough to reminisce about 1936 when I came to Hartford and to WTIC when I came to work on a trolley car. Now, that's how far back it was. And if you stepped off the sidewalk, you're liable to get hit by one of them. And we didn't have any of these big buildings around here that we have today. I arrived here at 2 o'clock in the morning, and a friend of mine let me out of his car. At 2 o'clock, he and his wife were driving me here from California. He was a motorcycle racer. His name was Slippery Hills. But at any rate, he had a place to go. He had some friends with whom he was going to stay. And there was no place, no room for me, and he let me out of his car at 2 o'clock in the morning, the 10th of May, 1936.
Welcome to the sixth edition of the Broadcaster at 100, all about our beloved Bob Steele, whose career at WTIC spanned 1936 to 2002. Just wrapping up in the background is his opening theme, A Hunt in the Black Forest. The excerpt we just heard is from his final full-time show, September 30th, 1991. And we'll return to it a few times throughout the rest of this hour as he recalls his coming to Hartford. This is the first of two shows that we'll do on Bob Steele as part of our end-of-the-month series, marching all the way to 100 years of broadcasting on WTIC. Bob's son Phil will join us for this episode. Robert will be on our second episode. Phil, long before he made it to Hartford and WTIC, he was a young boy growing up in Kansas City. What do we know about the earliest years of Bob's life?
Not as much as I would like. I became fascinated to learn all I could after he died, and I began to recognize the extent of his scrapbooks, the things that he saved over the years, photographs and many other things, so that I learned a lot. And every question you answer, of course, begets a couple more questions. And you know, so often said, gee, I wish, you know, Dad were here that I could ask him about that.
Bob was an only child. He was very concerned about his mother and helping to support her. We get to the Great Depression. There's this move from Kansas City to California, eventually from California to Connecticut. What do we know about that transitional period and Bob trying to support the family? Because I should point out that it's in this era that Bob's story really begins to solidify.
His connection in California, he was there for what, 6-7 years or so. He had a variety of jobs, struggled. So when the opportunity came up, George Lanham, a motorcycling friend of his, was into the business of motorcycle races. And he had opened a track in Albany. And he wanted to open one in Hartford. And he asked Bob if he would come and do the publicity and be the track announcer. So he said, yes, I'll be there. So, you know, he got a ride, came into Hartford and here for the summer, then lucked out with a job at TIC.
Here for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I didn't come here to do radio. I came here to work for a guy at a motorcycle races. I did the publicity for him and a lot of PR work, you know. Then did the public address work at the stadium, see? And just talking to the people over the microphone, some radio people, of course, went to the races, heard me. Some guy says, why don't you try to get a job at the radio station, you know? I says, hell, I've tried a million times to get a regular staff job, you know, and taking auditions, but nobody ever take me. So I says, I wouldn't even think about it. I never thought any more about it till the day before I was to leave town to go back to California. I didn't know they were holding an audition or anything. So I took an audition. I went in to talk to the boss. He said, go to work tomorrow if you want to.
Bob was hired to be part of the announcing team. The concept for the morning show that we came to know and love and know today did not come until 1943. Those first 7 years, Bob was part of a number of features, news coverage, sports reports, and more. One of the earliest recordings that we have of Bob comes from December 4th, 1941, when a new bridge was being built over the Connecticut River collapsed. It's now known as the Charter Oak Bridge, but then was simply a bridge that would eventually connect to the Wilbur Cross Highway that was then under construction. Here's an excerpt of Bob's coverage live from that scene.
A section of this new bridge has just collapsed. It is completed right up to the bank of the river. At the top of that span of bridge, just as it reached over for some girders to bring into place, the platform beneath the crane gave way, and of course the crane went down and the bridge went down with it. There were 30 men working on the span at the time. They naturally went down with the crane and its platform and the section of bridge. They rescued approximately 25 men alive. I have an electrical engineer here who's volunteered to give us some information on the this catastrophe. He refuses to divulge his name. Were you here at the time of the accident?
About 5 minutes after.
And what did you see as you came upon the scene?
Well, there was lots of confusion here, and it was only a matter of, I would say, within 15 minutes when word was sent to the state police that they were on their way here from all over the state. And the Hartford people, Hartford policemen were here, and there was plenty of volunteers, and I was down here before the ambulances got here, and by the time they got here, why, they were taking them away very fast.
There are two, three boats, four boats, five boats out in the river at the moment, right near the scene of the collapse of the span, apparently looking for anything that they might be able to find. I think that's about all the information we can give you. We don't want to tell you anything that we're not sure of. This is Bob Steele now returning you to our WTIC studios.
I'm Morgan Cunningham as we continue with the broadcaster at 100, celebrating our legacy that is Bob Steele. We'll continue in a moment. Find me on social media at MC News Talk.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is Robert H. Steele, one of the sons of WTIC's Bob Steele. And you're listening to Morgan Cunningham, wishing WTIC a very happy anniversary.
The next thing was being turned down at the YMCA for a room for the night. I had 20 cents in my pocket, two thin dimes, and as I've said many times, I'm worth 10 times that today, so I don't have to worry. But I went to the Y and asked for a room, and they then asked me for a dollar. That's all a room was a buck in those days. Room for the night. I said, I only got 20 cents. I said, I'll give you the 80 cents tomorrow. And the guy said, just a minute, let me look at this register again. He said, oh, I'm sorry. He says, you know, we're full up. I didn't realize that. He says, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. So I said, you mean you can't let me have a room somewhere? I can sleep in the basement, any place. He says, gee, I'm sorry, and it's against the rules, too. You got to pay you a buck in advance. And I said, well, this is the Young Men's Christian Association. And I said, I'm a Christian. I said, I only got 20 cents. But why couldn't I stay here just as one of the guys? Said, I'm sorry, it's the rules. I said, okay. And he was doing the only thing he could. He had his orders, naturally.
Again, throughout the hour, we're continuing with that story Bob told on the day of his retirement, 55 years at WTIC, September 30th, 1991. The tale of when he came to Hartford for the first time, May 10th, 1936. I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's the broadcaster at 100. The first of two episodes we're going to do on WTIC's Bob Steele. We're with one of Bob's sons, Phil. Phil, talking about your dad's popularity, at one point in the 40s having 80% of the local audience listening to him. By the time he retired, it was just under 40%. Of course, ratings had changed, more options for people to listen to or watch on television. But by all means, definitely a respectable figure. Phil, despite all of that listenership, he never let that fame go to his head. People even to this day remember him like a neighbor.
No. I don't think he was more humble and self-effacing. In fact, that was part of his shtick, part of his humor was, to, you know, this is a boob, Bob Steele. He found that that worked, you know, and that's why he did it, I guess, because it endeared him to people. But, it, you know, there was a genuineness to it, too, I think. I mean, he just knew that human nature, this is a better way to be. So I don't think it went to his head. Felt lucky, felt appreciative that he was able to have the success that he did.
Phil, your dad was just about people. His content wasn't about any one topic in particular. Certainly wasn't political.
Your audience is everybody, right? Democrat and Republican, independent. You don't take sides. It's not the way to do it.
Of course, he was a sports fan, even hosted Strictly Sports.
That was his first way he got beyond just being a staff announcer. In fact, it was his idea, probably coming out of the fact that, you know, he liked to place a bet on the horses or the baseball games. But in those days, all the baseball games were in the daytime. And, you know, his buddies, what he would meet at the, you know, who wanted to also like to bet, say, you know, who won the game today, Bob? Who won the game? He thought there was a tremendous interest. People wanted to know. So why not do a sports show, you know, around 6 o'clock, between 6:30 in the evening? You know, a lot of people would really like that, to find out who won today's baseball games. And the TIC said, yeah, I mean, it's a good idea. Let's do it. So it was one of the first in the country, I believe. Strictly sports. Later, when WTIC got TV, Channel 3, they reprised it with close-up on sports, is what he called that. So he was definitely into sports. He had been a boxer. He had been a little baseball, motorcycling, hill climbing. So, you know, sports were hardly foreign to him, but he was a good choice for that job, and it took to it. And plus, his sense of humor came through, as well as the seriousness of sports.
Here's an excerpt of Bob Steele's Strictly Sports from February 12th, 1949.
Howdy, sports fans and everybody. How are you tonight? This is Bob Steele with Strictly Sports, brought to you by Camels, those full-flavored cigarettes that smoke so mild. In case you've awakened just this minute after a 20-hour sleep, let me advise you that Hartford's and Middletown's Willie Pep gave Sandy Sadler the whipping of his young life in 15 rounds last night to regain the featherweight championship of the world. It was the first time in pugilistic history that a man won back the undisputed 126-pound title. It also was the first time in history a pair of featherweights had drawn so much money indoors, $87,500, paid in by over 19,000 joyous roaring rooters, most of whom had come down from the Nutmeg State hoping to see their fistic idol thrash the man whose thunderous thumping had knocked him colder than a bird's eye in 4 rounds last October. What they had hoped to see, they saw. They saw a perfectly conditioned Willie tear out at the opening bell to take charge of his equally strong and harder-hitting opponent right from the word go. Winning the first 2 rounds with flashy boxing and by landing 7 and 8 punches to Sadler's 1, Willing Willie was off to a start that forecast a bad evening for the rangy Negro boy from Harlem, unless Mr. Sadler was to tag him on the violin holder. As the fight wore on, it became more and more apparent that to win, Sadler would have to score a knockout. And that knockout possibility loomed very large indeed in the 4th, 10th, and 14th rounds. Sandy's vicious left hand, both jabs and hooks, almost turned the trick in each of those rounds, but the Connecticut boxing master survived each of those terrible moments because of his wonderful physical condition.
As far as sports went, Phil, your dad, Bob Steele, would make predictions. But in many cases, they were wrong. But people didn't seem to care anyway.
Yeah, and I think he discovered that made him the talk of the town, so to speak. You know, oh, you hear Bob Steele, you know, so we know who's going to win. In fact, he'd send out Christmas cards in the 40s. I actually have some of those Christmas cards that where he would make fun of himself making predictions and how, you know, the boxer all beat up saying, yeah, Steele picked me to win, you know. He found that worked for him. So
a running joke.
He kept it up. But actually, his record wasn't bad. His record was the weakness of this. He always liked the underdog. And if you're going to pick the underdog, you're not going to pick the winner very often, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the antithesis of what you're supposed
right.
to do, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
There are many other aspects of your father's showmanship and show that were quirky. One of those unique features that he did was the antenna switch. The antenna switch was something very technical for WTIC. We run 2 different patterns, day and night, for our signal. At night, we're directional. During the day, we're non-directional. Well, in the morning, we would switch from night pattern to day pattern. When that happens at the transmitter site, there's actually about a second of static. Your dad turned that into a feature that ended up being sponsored through the years, the famous antenna switch. So he would say, okay, folks, well, I'll let you listen.
Tell you what we'll do right here. Let's pause for an antenna switch. This will be a first, incidentally. Never before has an antenna switch been recorded. Would you stand by, please? Thank you.
Sounds crazy, but yeah. Well, I don't know where that came from. If there are people in the ad department, of course, who are constantly inventing new ways to make a buck, right? That's their job. I don't know who actually first thought of it, but sure, they did it.
Let me ask you a question. Another one of his features, probably more popular than the antenna switch, was word for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today I hear a lot of people say word of the day, but I have documentation of your father saying and writing word for the day. Which one is it, Phil?
Yeah, it was the word for the day. That was the way he called it. But yes, you're right. I think the majority of people, when I hear someone mention his book or that segment of his show that he would do, they call it the word of the day. But he started with word for the day. He's kept with it. I mean, you could make an argument either way, I suppose, as to which is more appropriate. But word for the day.
Bob's last show of the week, which was on a Saturday, he would go over all the words from the previous week. So rather than Phil and I trying to explain how it worked, here's Bob to show us how.
Saturday, the 7th of August, and 1999, that's right. May as well throw that in. It's possible somebody will be listening to this tape 100 years from now, and they won't know what year this was. I hope you're all feeling fine this morning. Good morning, how are you? When people say, how are you, hold back your tale of woe. The plain, unvarnished truth is, they don't really want to know. I could run over our words for the day right here. I have a minute. Let me do this in a hurry here. Flaccid, F-L-A-C-C-I-D. Flaccid. Don't say flaccid with him. All right. Flaccid. Flabby. Ribald, R-I-B-A-L-D is ribald. Tell a ribald story. But be careful, Could be a little offensive. Somewhat. Naughty story. Ribald. Scion. He was the scion of a wealthy family. S-C-I-O-N. Scion. Respite. R-E-S-P-I-T-E. Respite. Let's take a little respite. A rest. Looks like respite. Respite is correct.
As you heard just there, Bob's word for the day was not always about difficult words. Sometimes it was easy words. I have a recording of him doing the word height, H-E-I-G-H-T. You heard respite there, and I think that that's an important word for this example because he would pick words that were commonly used but often mispronounced. I've got another recording of him doing the word affluent and said, make sure you emphasize aff. I'm Morgan Cunningham. It is the Spotlight Connecticut series, The Broadcaster at 100, celebrating 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080. We're looking back on the life and career of Bob Steele, one of two episodes we're going to do on him. Our guest is his son, Phil, for this episode. Find me on socials at MC News Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Bob Steele, a part of Southern New England on WTIC.
It's the broadcaster at 100 on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Morgan Cunningham, proud to celebrate the legacy that is Bob Steele, our morning man from 1936 to 1991 full-time, and part-time and weekends from 1991 until his death in 2002. A 66-year run that's going to be nearly impossible to beat. We're with Phil Steele, Bob Steele's son. Phil, I'd like to talk a little bit about behind the scenes at WTIC for a moment. There were numerous different owners, from ownership under the Travelers, to the 1080 Corporation, to American Radio, to Infinity Radio. He worked at WTIC in our classic era when we were housed with the Travelers, then in Broadcast House with WTIC AM, FM, and TV under one roof. After that, the Gold Building, 19th floor there, and he finished his career at our current studios in Farmington. Not to mention that in 66 years, management changed a lot. Yet he remained constant. What did he think of all those behind-the-scenes changes, Phil?
It's hard for me to answer that. I mean, I've never discussed it with him, never heard him really talk about it. But the fact that I never heard him complain, I think, indicates pretty much that you do what your job is. If I'm not the one, he's not the one deciding where the station is going to be located. So, don't fuss about it. You just. But I think he enjoyed all those locations.
Phil, what would Bob say about 1080 today, the world today, after all the changes that he saw in 66 years, and here we are recording this 22 years after his death? What would he say today?
He'd say, change is normal. That was something he would say with a bit of regret. You know, he didn't kind of wish that things could stay the way they were, but he knew that they can't be that way. The world is always changing, and you just have to kind of work, go along with it, you know, as well as you can. He might talk about inflation. He might talk about how Jew used to get for 25 cents, you know, we'd get a full breakfast down on Asylum Street. He'd talk about the past. He'd talk about the way things used to be sometimes. But no, generally not worried about where the world was going, even though he would himself, I mean, if you would ask him about any particular issue, he would probably take a moderate to a conservative approach.
Talking about changes that Bob would see later on in his life, his eldest son, Robert, who will be our guest in our second episode on Bob Steele at a later date as part of our Broadcaster at 100 series on WTIC, he was in Congress for 2 terms, Connecticut's 2nd District, then ran unsuccessfully against Ella Grasso, who was elected governor, first female governor of the state. Did you see a change in the relationship that Bob had with politicians, Ella Grasso, anybody in the Grasso family, after his son ran? I ask only because Bob was such a big figure, and Ella Grasso was a huge figure as well. People might also be thinking about how politics work today And you'll probably tell me that this bitterness that we see today was not the case 50 years ago.
I don't think so. I think that Ella Grasso wrote the introduction for his first book in 1980, his a book of jokes, and Bob Steele, a man and his humor. And we live in a democracy. We have two candidates. Only one can win, and you don't... My brother's career, you know, took off after that. I mean, he may have been lucky that he didn't win. You
know? Maybe it worked out.
Who knows what would have happened if he had? Other governors have experienced some terrible things, right? So, no, I think so. I think he was happy. In fact, I remember when I worked at the Journal Enquirer in the 1980s for about 6 months. I did an interview with Tom Grasso, Ella's husband, which I thought would kind of be interesting to do an interview, you know, interview the governor's husband. And he was extremely nice. And no, I don't think there was ever any kind of a feeling that, hey, you know, unlike politicians today, you know, we listen to the news today. These people
kill each other, right? It was a different era in those days.
Yeah, it was.
Did he have that kind of persona and clout where if he walked down the street in Hartford, he could go see and get a meeting with the mayor, or people would recognize him and say, Mr. Steele, you know, come say hi to everybody in the restaurant, whatever it is. Did he have that kind of pull and recognition with dignitaries and state officials, as well as average people in Hartford, the regular citizen?
Well, I can't think of any time when he ever would have said, well, I think I'll use a little bit of my pull to get something that I need or somebody wants. I can't think of it. It doesn't sound like the way he was to do that. But I think a lot of people came to him. You know, a lot of governors were happy to, you know, whether it was even Ella Grasso, and it was very, very not close to my father, but I think she admired him. They got along fine. They like to know who is in the media, right? That's natural for politicians. They want to be cozy with them as much as they can. So I think the attraction was often the people would come to him.
When you heard that your dad was really going to retire, because he joked about it on April Fool's Day for years, and then one day he meant it.
Well, my brothers and I, and I think our mom, we all discouraged him from retiring. I think my mom felt, well, look, you know, if he's retired, it means he's home all day, right?
Yeah,
a lot of housewives are not, you know, really want the husband around a full time, right? They kind of appreciate having a little time to themselves. But my brothers and I think we felt that this was healthy for him, you know, that doing this was really good for him. And we hoped that he would continue as long as he could. And he did, basically. I mean, he cut back, obviously, once a month is not a very rigorous schedule to go in and do that show. But on the other hand, you know, he would prepare for it. It was enough to keep him active. I think it was really good for him to be doing what he did. Maybe he could have done even more, but that was probably about right, especially when he got to be 91 years old, you know. And as I've told the reporter who asked me after he died, I thought he was saying something in his last sign-off in November of 2002. The last show he did, when he tuned off, he said, and what I'm trying to, you know, how he go, pip, pip, cheerio, goodbye, all these used foreign expressions for goodbye. And they say, what I'm trying to say is goodbye. It sounded like he was trying to tell us something, wasn't he? Maybe. Who knows?
Former WTIC anchor reporter Bill Pierce was among the WTIC news team breaking our own story that Bob Steele had passed on December 6th, 2002.
Anyone who grew up in the Hartford area from the 30s to the present likely listened to Bob Steele. He came to WTIC in 1936 and never left, though he did cut back to one show a month in 1991. Bob died in his sleep at the age of 91. When Bob decided to end The Daily Show at the age of 80, he got a letter from an old friend and colleague jokingly wondering why.
He writes, "Dear Bob, UB Blake continued past age 100. George Burns is still at it in his 90s. Doesn't date women his own age because there are none. Bob Hope has better than a fistful of years on you and continues to entertain. I just can't understand you and the rest of the younger generation quitting when you've hardly begun."
His precise pronunciations and timing, his tiddlywinks, and many more features from his show will long be remembered. Bob at one time commanded the largest audience in the country in terms of percentage of market share. Many Connecticut residents wouldn't start their day without it.
Very sad to hear this news about Bob Steele.
I had to call my 90-year-old grandmother and inform her of the news that Bob had passed. And I heard a pause on the other end of the phone and said, "He can't do that. He's on the air tomorrow morning."
I was brought up on Bob Steele. I especially like the marches in the morning.
Bob Steele, our friend and colleague, dead at the age of 91.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and this is the Broadcaster at 100, remembering the legacy that is WTIC's Bob Steele. One of two episodes that we'll do on Bob as we continue to move toward 100 years of broadcasting on WTIC with the Broadcaster at 100 series. On the last Saturday show of Spotlight Connecticut between now and next February, when we turn 100. We'll continue with some memories from Phil and wrap up with some audio of Bob's from our archive next on WTIC as we continue the Broadcaster at 100.
This is WTIC in Hartford. So I went over to the Guard Hotel, which stands where the, you know where the Bond is. The Bond is still there. The Guard was right next to it. It was an older hotel. And I got the a room because I had two busted-up suitcases. And I registered like any other traveler would with luggage, you know. I didn't have any money, but they didn't know that. And I said, "I want the cheapest room you've got." And they gave me a room for $1.50. And it was clear up in the top of the thing. It was up like an attic. At any rate, I had a good night's sleep, and the next morning, before checkout time, I was able to call a friend of mine who had invited me to come here and hired me to do the motorcycle race announcing at Bulkley Stadium, just the public address work. And he came down about 10 o'clock in the morning, slipped me a fin. That is a $5 bill. Some people don't really know what a fin is. But nothing to do with a fish. It took care of the hotel bill and also was enough for a nice breakfast, which cost me a quarter. You could get a good breakfast in those days for 25 cents. That's how far back it was.
Phil, your father has been off the air full-time since 1991. He died in 2002, but he is still remembered in Hartford today, kind of like a folklore legend in a way. He's got his own street in downtown. There's the plaque on the side of the building, the Travelers Building, where he used to work.
The Grove Street building, where the studios were on the sixth floor back in the 30s, 40s, and until they moved to Broadcast House.
Do you see those from time to time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, sure. Anytime I go to the Science Museum, take my stepson to the Science Museum, and we walk down Bob Steele Street, you know, park on the street sometimes or nearby and walk by the plaque. And yeah, that was a nice thing for the city of Hartford.
What goes through your mind when that happens? When you cross by Bob Steele Street and when you see the plaque?
It's nice. It's just it's a nice feeling to see that there is something that that will endure longer than other things. You know?
Was your dad surprised in 1995 when he became a recipient of the broadcast award?
Well, I wasn't with him when he got the news, but I would say that that he was tremendously honored, flattered, a little surprised, possibly. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he was surprised about it. So, in fact, he was so nervous when he went there that he the little speech that he gave that tried to point out how someone earlier in the broadcast that night in Chicago had mispronounced the name of the inventor of radio,
Marconi,
Guglielmo Marconi, and he said somebody mispronounced Guglielmo, but he mispronounced it. And in trying to tell people, he was so nervous that he had to say mispronounce the name of Guglielmo Marconi. He pronounced it wrong. And, you know, that's almost impossible for Bob Steele to do.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, and yet there it is. It's on tape, you know, that he gave it the wrong pronunciation. And probably after, didn't even realize, or he would have immediately corrected himself.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of all of those who labor in local radio, the Radio Hall of Fame is proud to induct Bob Steele.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I have 90 seconds. I'm going to chop 20 off of that if I possibly can. I just want to say that next to my family, I love radio more than anything in the world. And I mean that. I want to thank all of the radio executives and members of the Radio Hall of Fame for voting for me to get me here. I never expected to arrive here, but it's mighty nice to be here, I assure you. I want to thank my wife of 58 years for getting me up at 4 o'clock in the morning for 6 mornings a week for 50-odd years. And I want to thank a member of the Radio Hall of Fame who is no longer with us, but I imagine he can hear me. I certainly hope he can when I say that he helped me to have a career of reasonable success, and my whole life I owe to him, actually, a gentleman by the name of Guglielmo Marconi, and I'm sure I pronounced his first name correctly, as someone didn't earlier tonight. Thank you.
So he was very nervous about that. And of course, he didn't like to travel a lot either by airplane. You know, he liked to drive, and, you know, that was a long way to Chicago. So I think he did fly, or maybe took a, I forget if he took a train or how he got there, but he hated flying, so.
I never knew that about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any reason why he didn't like to fly?
I don't know. I guess the same psychological thing that some people have about the nervous being up in the air, and even some being airsick. I think he could easily get, his stomach would bother him sometimes. But he did have to fly sometimes. He flew to St. Louis, I think, for a Willie Pep fight back in the 1940s. Probably flew to Miami for another Willie Pep fight. Big fight they had in Miami. Big title fight.
If he were here today and knew that we were talking about 100 years and Bob Steele, what would he say to people?
He'd probably say, thanks.
I knew you were going to say that. He'd be grateful.
Definitely. Yeah.
Phil, I really appreciate your coming on the broadcast here at 100. I just wanted to close out on a funny note with an excerpt of Bob's. I think that this really embodies his shtick, how he viewed life, and how he brought that life to his show.
I recall a speech I gave some years ago to the inmates, the old state prison in Wethersfield. I was there just for the evening, and I was to have a couple of minutes to address some 400 inmates who had had a dinner. This is a true story. I didn't know how to address this group, these 400 inmates, and I didn't want to get up and say good evening, gentlemen, because they might think I was being facetious and poking fun at them. And I didn't want to get into any trouble with them. I didn't want to say good evening, friends, although I had a number of friends there at the time. I live in just a stone's throw from the prison. At that time, I did. I used to throw rocks over there all the time. Those fellas get out from time to time, and who knows? You know, they might drop over to the house if they thought I was an old buddy. So I didn't want to say good evening, friends, and I asked the warden what I should say, how to address them. He said, why don't you just get up and be casual about it, say, hello, fellas. So when my time came, I did. And they began throwing stuff, you know, from residue from their plates and buns and vegetables and whatnot. I had misunderstood the warden. I thought he said felons.
That really is one of my favorite Bob Steele recordings of all time. It highlights his love for words, his love for storytelling, his love for clean humor, all in one place. Really, it is a gift to have that. In the coming months, we'll have a second episode on the legacy of Bob Steele with his eldest son, Robert. And we'll have another edition of the broadcaster at 100 as the series rolls out on Spotlight Connecticut at the end of next month. Now for a sign-off, Bob Steele style, from his final full-time show, which we've been pulling clips from throughout this special, September 31st, 1991.
Not having anybody to reminisce with, I thought I would reminisce a little myself here, but I just hope I haven't bored anybody, and I hope that you'll all stay tuned to TIC for the next, say, 40, 50 years anyway. And remember, Tom McCarthy's going to be with you from 5:30 to 10, and send those birthday announcements to Tom, and I'll see you all around. I thank you for listening, and I thank you for all the nice, kind words that you've said in my behalf, and I just, if I keep talking, I'll be crying in a minute, so so long, everybody. Adios, sayonara, avoirdupois, and au revoir, and auf Wiedersehen, dos vidania, and all those other words. Sudiev, yeah, slanta, and hasta la vista, pip pip, and cheerio. WTIC in Hartford.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.